Hello, I hope you're having a wonderful day today. I haven't shared a video in a while because I've been enjoying my life. And it's funny because I will take notes. I've shared before, I usually have notes that I refer to in videos. And so as things come into my mind, I'll write them down. And it's funny because with the home economy, what I often share about when I'm starting to think about the home economy and building your home economy and thinking about things that I want to share with you all, as I'm writing them down, I'm like, oh, this would be a great video. But instead of sitting down and creating a video, I am so inspired by my own home economy that I'm like, I just want to take care of my home. I don't want to go sit down in front of my phone is what I use. I don't want to sit down in front of my phone and record a video. I want to build my home. The wisest of women builds her home. And I think that's why the concept of the home being a home economy is so inspiring. It just gets you realizing that there is so much good, purposeful, valuable work to be done within the home. And that has been my journey since I became a homemaker. I'm so grateful because when I quit my job in 2018, we had just gotten into a group of a community who were very big into regenerative agriculture. So Scott got a job at a local butchery and restaurant. It was a farm-to-table restaurant, and he was managing it. And because of that, we learned about Joel Salatin, we learned about Justin Rhodes, we learned about Wendell Berry, and it opened our eyes to the agrarian lifestyle. Reading Wendell Berry opened our eyes to the local economy and the value of the local economy. Wendell Berry breaks it down into the global economy, the local economy, and the home economy. And then at the same time, I was reading Lisa Graham McMinn's book called The Contented Soul. And in her book, she talks about the importance of living locally, being content. I actually can't even totally remember what that book is about, but you know when something just makes an impact on you in that season, that when you think back to that season, you think of that book? Well, there's two books in that season of life, the 2018 2019 season, that really shaped a lot of how we were living. And that was, it's a compilation book of Wendell Berry's essays called World Ending Fire, and then Lisa Graham McMinn's book, The Contented Soul. And it's amazing because Scott discovered, I don't know if he actually discovered Wendell Berry, he probably already knew about him, but he started reading his books because of his work. And then I started reading Lisa Graham McMinn because I was sharing on my Instagram at that time was called Fairly Full Farmstead because we had just bought land and we were going to share our journey of building a homestead on this 11 acres in Kentucky. And that was the name of our homestead. And a girl from my little Instagram page, actually, it's my same Instagram page that I have now, Home with Kelly. It's just I changed the name. So if you go all the way back to the beginning, it's all of our homesteading stuff. And someone recommended the book The Contented Soul for me. And it's amazing because I think even in that book, Lisa Graham McMinn references Wendell Berry, if not that book, some of her other books that I read. And I don't agree with everything Lisa Graham McMinn shares about, but for that season of my life, I really feel like God spoke to me through a lot of those things. And so, how does any of that have to do with the home economy? It has everything to do with it because that was when I had just quit my job. I'm like fumbling through life trying to figure out what am I doing not having a job while also not yet being a mom. That was the in-between season that I was in, and I had known nobody who had quit their job to be their husband's helper and to be a keeper of the home and had not had children. Everyone I knew who quit their job to come home was pregnant and preparing for their baby to come. So they were decorating the baby room and getting all excited for that, or they already had many children. So for me, I was like, what am I doing? What am I doing being a homemaker? I don't fully understand this because I've never seen it. And because of Wendell Berry giving us the vision of there's a global economy, there is a local economy, which is very important, and then there's the home economy. And Scott really helped me understand what the home economy was. And I'd never thought about that before. I never thought that me being home is playing a role in our economy. And it's amazing because it just shows you how far we've gone from the root meaning of words, because I have a very old dictionary. Okay, I just decided to go and get it. I have this very old dictionary from the late 1800s. It is the most beautiful book. But in this book, the word economy means, number one, the first definition, primarily the management, regulation, and government of a family or the concerns of a household. And then the second definition is the management of pecuniary concerns or the expenditure of money. And then the third definition is a frugal and judicious use of money, the management which expends money to advantage and incurs no waste, frugality, and the necessary expenditure of money. So the word economy was really all about managing the household. Then we started outsourcing everything. And then the wars came and women started entering into the workforce because men had to go to war, and then the government realized, oh, okay, well, with women in the workforce, we're getting double the tax dollars, and so we are going to encourage women to be outside of the home. It's interesting, I was reading, I'm trying to think of what, oh, it was this book that Scott and I were reading. It's a book about this man who was, it was like an off-grid book. I wish I remembered the name of it. It's in our pile of books. We're in the process of building a bookshelf for the living room so then we can display all of our books. But this guy was talking about the history of appliances in this off-grid book, and he said that General Electric, they were the ones that really pushed appliances to women, because if women realized they needed more appliances in the kitchen, all of these appliances needed electricity. And so that's why General Electric was really pushing all of these kitchen appliances that they were selling, was because the more kitchen appliances a household had, the more electricity that they would need. And they marketed to women, to housewives, in a way of convenience. And it's amazing because I feel like that truly is, like, convenience has been a blessing in so many ways. Praise God for all of the blessings of electricity and all that comes with it, and refrigerators and ovens and crock pots. Praise the Lord, such a blessing. There also is the reality of there are pros and cons to everything. So with convenience in the home came the outsourcing of women. So now women don't need to be home. Women don't need to take care of the home. You can go out and work a job. You can go out and do anything that a man can do. We don't need your role in the home anymore because there's plenty of appliances that can do your work for you. And the truth is, we cannot be replaced in our home, even by all the conveniences of the world today, even with all that money can buy, maid services and landscapers, even with all of those things, none of those appliances or jobs can ever replace the role of a woman in our home. This is our God-given domain. So with women leaving the home, the home economy was gone. You don't need to think about the home as an economy because there's such a focus on women going out and making money that the home and how productive a home place can be has been ignored and forgotten. And I think it's so cool that there is a movement of the home being a place of production and not just consumption. It's easy to brush off homesteading as just a trend, but I don't think it is just a trend. I think it's really this deep-seated disgust with where our world has gone and how we don't know what's in our food. We've been lied to about so many things of health and wellness that you realize that, okay, we have agency, and the only way to know what's in our food is to grow it ourselves. The only way to know what ingredients is in things or what quality of ingredients is to make it myself. The only way to know how good this meat is to raise the animal myself, Or better yet, to live in a community where everyone's doing a little bit of everything. So you know a farmer who is raising amazing quality grass-fed happy cows, and you know another farmer who has dairy cows, and you know another farmer who is growing all types of different produce. And it's not just food. That's the point of a local economy, is to know who is in your local area that is providing goods and services. That's why in 2021, we had just moved to an area in Indiana, and we decided, one, we were fed up with all of the things going on in the world that were, you had to have certain things to get into certain stores or wear things over your face to get in certain stores, and we just didn't know where that direction was going. And so we didn't want to be a part of it. We were like, if these grocery stores are going to require certain things, then we're not going to go there. If these big box stores are going to go to and require certain things, we're not going to give them our money. And so in 2021, we decided that for that full year, we are going to only shop locally and with shopping online from people who share our values. So no big box stores, no crazy making companies that don't fall in alignment with our values, and we're just gonna see if we can do it. And it was a huge blessing, and it's amazing because at that time we lived out in the boondocks, and so we really had to learn how to, one, make do with what we have or do without, two, trust in the Lord to provide all of our needs. That's the huge blessing of putting limits on yourself, is saying, God, instead of me just trying to provide for myself, I'm going to trust that you're going to provide for me. I'm going to trust that you know my needs before I even ask. And so you know what we need, and what we need, you will provide for us. And it was so encouraging and so cool in that year. All of the places that we discovered that I know for sure we would not have discovered had we not put that limit on ourselves of no big box stores, no online big companies. The only exception that I had was one or two times that year I went to Hobby Lobby, and it was for getting a gift for someone. But all other things was locally sourced or from a shop online that shared our values. And even then, we didn't really do a lot of online shopping. It was mostly just Azure Standard that we were buying from, and I'm not really sure where else. Down Home Soap, I was getting soap products from her. And yeah, all the other places was really local places, and it was so amazing because, for example, toys. I was like, where am I gonna buy toys from for birthday gifts and Christmas gifts if we have this limit on ourselves? And I was driving through this town that was about 30 minutes away, and I drove past it, and it said toy shop. And it's so funny because I had looked online for toy shops, and it didn't show up on maps. So they obviously hadn't put it in maps as a toy shop, because that wasn't the name of the place. It was more like a general store type of name, but it was all toys, and it was filled with all the Melissa and Doug toys. And I was like, God, you provided what we needed. And then right next door was a little boutique, and I was gonna need a dress for a wedding we were going to. And so I went in there and I got a dress for this wedding. And it's actually, I think in some of my dress videos, I've shared it with you before. It's the long navy blue dress with little flowers on it I got from that boutique. And it was during that year of not shopping at big box stores, but only shopping at locally owned places, and with the exception of online. And then also we went into this little bulk food store, and I saw that they were selling meat, and they had a butcher in the back. And so I asked if they ever sold grass-fed beef, and they were like, well, the main guy, he's not here right now, but he'll call you because he does have some connections. And so he later called and said, we actually have a few grass-fed cows coming up, but they don't come around often, so would you like the half of a cow? And that was the first time that we ever got a half of a cow, was from him, and we ended up building an amazing relationship with him and his family. They had a little homestead about 40 minutes from us, and just the nicest family that we would have, again, never met otherwise. And then we ended up finding milk that same year, a local dairy, and we ended up getting our milk from them. Every time we had a need, God provided for the need locally. But had I just well, we don't need to put limits on ourselves. We can just buy from whoever. I would have never been put in a position, one, to wait on things, and then two, never even thought to look for it locally. But because that was our mindset, we did look for it locally and we found it locally. So that's the local economy side of things. And the local economy and the home economy tie hand in hand because obviously shopping locally is going to be more expensive. But Scott and I consider it that the money that we're saving from building our home economy, we want to put that money into our local economy. Because what happens when you go to big box stores or Amazon? Whenever you give them your money, your hard-earned money is going from your local area out into the global community. And so that is the value of keeping your money in your local area. There is a blessing to that. And we believe that it is biblical. Jesus says to love your neighbors as yourself. That is the greatest commandment that he gave us, is for us to love God and to love our neighbor as ourself. And what better way could you possibly love your neighbor than to support them, to give them your business, instead of giving the next door big global company that doesn't care about your people, it doesn't care about your place, it doesn't care about the beauty of your local area? That is the difference between locally owned coffee shops and franchised coffee shops. Franchised coffee shops are usually very ugly. They just plop right down in the middle of your town. They don't care about your place. Whereas local coffee shops, they are always about stewarding the local community. There is a face, a person with that shop. Whereas there is no face connection with these corporate, globally owned shops. I mean, local businesses will always care more about the local area than these big box stores. And there are exceptions. We went extreme in 2021 just because we wanted to see if we could do it, and we did. We only had 1 month of an exception, and that was when we were in Illinois for a month helping our friends with their house. So we allowed that to be an exception, but as far as us staying at home, we realized we could totally do this. And now we are not as extreme with that side of things. We do still prioritize home the way that we shop. We always think or source our needs. Can we make this ourselves? Can we do this ourselves? If we can't, can we buy it locally? Can we get this serviced locally? Is there an option to do this locally? If not, is there someone that shares our values that might not be local, but can we get it from someone who still shares our values? If not, then what is the, what do you call it? Like the lesser of evils of all of the big box stores? Like to me, Hobby Lobby is a lesser evil. Publix. And then there are companies that I just will not buy from because I have had bridges burned with them and I'm not going to give them my money. And that is just a personal conviction. Everyone will have their own conviction, but that's just our own personal conviction. We do not want to give money to people or places that we feel goes against our values, if at all possible. Again, if it isn't at all possible, then that's fine. But if at all possible, then we will try to figure out another option or that we don't need it at all. And like I said, the reason we think of that as a priority, because a lot of people will say, well, it's so much more expensive to do that. When I could just go to this big box store, why wouldn't I just go to that big box store? Well, we consider it as the things that I do to save money from within our household. I can be generous in other areas, loving my neighbor, because we have saved money by not eating out all the time, by making food from scratch. I can then buy meat from the local farmer. It's those type of decisions. And when you're working a job outside of the home, when a woman is working outside of the home, I've said so many times, and I know people, I always get pushback about this, but it is so hard. I actually find it nearly impossible to manage a home well and manage a job well. And that's not even if you have children. If you have children, I can't even imagine how you would manage your home, manage a job, and manage raising a family. I actually had someone once, I wrote a post on Instagram saying that a woman's greatest purpose is to be a wife and a mom. And honestly, I could have worded that a little better. But I still agree with it. I think it's an amazing purpose, and I'm saying that as someone who doesn't have children. But I think that's why I can say that, is because I'm someone who doesn't have children. So I feel the weight of not having children even more so. I think a better way to say it would be the greatest privilege is to be a wife and a mom. And because it truly is a privilege, it is a gift given to us to be able to be our husband's helper and to be able to steward literal blessings that God has given us. Children are blessings. That is scriptural. So to be able to raise blessings, like, do we understand the weight of that, of how amazing that is? And to be able to be our husband's helper, do we realize the weight of God thought it wasn't good for man to be alone? So he made a helper fit for him. So when I decided to marry my husband, we've decided that there are things on earth that we cannot do unless we are together. And I want to be my husband's helper. Scott calls it like strapping an extra engine to a mission by getting married. It says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Every time we know someone who's getting married, that is the scripture that we put in their card, is that word. Because I'm like, do we realize that he who finds a wife finds a good thing, praise the Lord, and obtains favor from the Lord? That's incredible. Me, I am favor from the Lord. When Scott married me, he just got upgraded, because the word of God, the book of truth, says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord because he married me. I don't want to be a quarrelsome, contentious wife. I want to be the Proverbs 31 wife who does her husband good, not harm, all the days of my life. I always find it really interesting that in my Titus 2 videos, I always get comments that say, well, what about the Proverbs 31 woman? And I'm like, what about the Proverbs 31 woman? The Proverbs 31 woman and the Titus 2 woman complement each other. They don't compete with each other. It wasn't like, well, there's the option of the business babe Proverbs 31 woman or the wife, mother, keeper of the home Titus 2 woman. Like, there's your options. No, the Proverbs 31 woman was a Titus 2 woman. Her children rise up and call her blessed. She does her husband good, not harm, all the days of her life. They complement each other. The Proverbs 31 woman was a home economist. Everything she did was within her home, building up her home, working out of her home. And she didn't neglect her husband, she didn't neglect her children, and she didn't neglect her home. I'm considering this as part of my biblical womanhood series, and I was thinking, I still want to focus on Titus 2. I think in my next few videos, I am going to talk about the androgyny side of things, because it ties right in with all of this. And I feel like before going into loving your husband, loving your children, being a keeper of the home, we have to understand the war against women. And that is what androgyny is. Androgyny is the blending of genders, that there is no such thing as man and woman anymore. We are blended together, and women can do anything man can do, and man can do anything that woman can do. And that's just not how God designed us. God made woman and God made man. We are both equal in value, incredibly valuable. We are so valuable that we cannot afford to waste time trying to be a man when God created us a woman. We need to embrace who God has made us to be. So that's going to be my next video, I think, if I feel like I can process it. I've tried recording that video twice, and I just haven't felt like I've been clear in what I want to say. So we'll see if third time is working out. I think I'm going to wrap it up here. I've just pretty much rambled in this whole video about the local economy, the home economy, but all of that to say that it is good to be a homemaker. It's good to take care of our home. There is good work to be done within our home. I will link my favorite home economy video that Scott and I did in 2019. We sat down, recorded this video. It is rough. We're just sitting on our back porch in Stanford, Kentucky, with a cup of lemon water, and we're just chatting away about the home economy. We only had probably 20 subscribers at the time when we posted that video. So I will link that video below. It's on our Scott and Kelly channel, but then I've also reposted it here on this channel. If you like the topic of the home economy, I think that you'll like that video. It's a fun video to have playing in the background. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed this rambling of a video. I didn't have any notes. It's good to be a homemaker. It's good to build our home economy. The wisest of women builds our home, and it's not only a blessing to our home, it's not only a blessing to our husband, and Lord willing, if you have children, it's a blessing to your children, but it's also a way of loving your neighbor by being a home economist, searching out where to give your money to, where to support, where to buy things from within your local community. And if you want more on the local economy topic, I can do a whole separate video about resources for finding things in your local area. So I can do that too. And maybe that's where I'll go next. We'll see. Maybe it'll be androgyny. Maybe it'll be the local economy. We'll see. But I do hope this video has been a blessing to you, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. If you like today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.